Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Shannon Joy Show. We are broadcasting live from the Joy Virtual Studio right here in the beautiful Finger Lakes region of New York. So let's get to the Geert Vandenberg. The Geert Vandenbosch audio video that I'm going to play for you. We're going to talk about that COVID cartel, why they're so hard to beat, and we're going to get into his predictions. Keep it tuned here. This is really, really important stuff. Here we go.
Out and say, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, we have been making some mistakes. It wasn't all right. We have to correct them and we have to revise our opinion. These people would be stoned in the street, right? They have no choice. They have no choice than other than to stick, even if they completely see how wrong they have been. They have no other choice. They can only hope that something will happen that will distract from this issue, that will distract me, but it won't. And so they keep silent or they just continue, along the path that they have been walking along so far. But I can tell you that many of them must be desperate, but, you know, being together, they feel protected. You know, this is a big lobby. This is a big lobby, and they think that everybody thinks that the other will protect them, right? Which is not the case. But this is this typical feeling. You all have committed crimes, but you are a big group, and it's like the mafia. And you feel all together. You feel like a big team, and nobody can penetrate into the team, etc. It will collapse. Because the surface, the truth will surface. This has been a large scale experiment of gain of function on the very human population. This is something that will be reported in history for many, many generations to come, much longer than the talks that have taken place after World War I and World War II, etc.
Yeah, the impact of a world war only worse. Geert Vandenbosch speaking of the coming distraction, too big to fail. I mentioned to you the COVID cartel. What is it? Well, obviously, global non-governmental organizations, global organizations like Gavi, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the World Health Organization, right at that top level, but also here in the States, the Trump administration played along with this. The Biden administration played along with this, all of the agencies. So this is a vast network. They all know that crimes were committed. They're all aware of what went down, but they think that they're too big to fail. They think that they have protection in numbers. And that's why we have to be very, very concerned. We're in a very important moment in history where they're up against a wall. They know how bad this is. And so they have to smash this down. Dissenters, voices of reason. It's interesting. The persecution of doctors is not going away, guys, despite certain wins. It's actually ramping up. And I have, where do I have here? Dr. Renata Moon is a local doctor here in the U.S. that has just been canceled for speaking out and testifying about COVID-19 vaccine injury. Dr. Shankara Chetty out of Africa, he treated 14,000 patients in Africa, spoke the truth about COVID. He's being hauled before a medical board. Our own Dr. Mary Talley Bowden being hauled before the Texas Medical Board at the end of this month, threatened with removing her license. They are not abating and backing off. They are moving very quickly towards more persecution. And I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't see another round of suppression, suspensions, even potentially on Twitter, on maybe on Rumble, hopefully not, but certainly on Facebook, social media, Insta, YouTube, you name it. We're in a danger zone right now where the wheels are falling off of the jalopy. The jig is up. They know it. And this is when they get particularly dangerous. It's like a wild, rabid animal backed into a corner. And what are they going to do? He mentioned the distraction. He also mentioned that they will begin to turn on each other. And, you know, that hopefully is coming soon as well. This is happening. And I'm going to read you now, and this is going to get a little bit sciencey, but I want you guys to bear with me and take this in because this is critical. You need to be connected. You need to have resources. You need to know what is coming, because he is saying that we are in right now the calm before the storm. That's Geert Vandenbosch. He was one of the earliest whistleblowers coming out of Gavi and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, a very robust history in the pharmacological industry, rolling out vaccines. He knows his stuff. And this is what came into my inbox from his Substack this morning that you all need to be aware of. He said, people are rightfully concerned, some even outraged by my predictions of how this COVID-19 pandemic will end. Understandably, some also blame me for the timeline I proposed not being accurate. Of course, not everyone understands that the interplay between the virus pathogen and the host population's immunity is complex and constantly determined by the pressure exerted by the population's adaptive immunity on the virus and the virus's adaptation to the changing immune environment. There's also the issue of, as we know now, placebos being sent out, different versions of the vaccine being sent out to different populations, higher levels of spike protein in certain batches than in other batches. And so we don't even have a handle on what was injected into the arms of people. So if there are some disparities, that's probably why. We don't know about vaccines that were rendered unusable or ineffective because they were stored at the wrong temperature. They were handled improperly by users in CVS or Phase or you name it. So there are a lot of variables here at play. Thank God there were placebos potentially shipped out. Thank God there were dud vaccines shipped out. People might have dodged a bullet in that case. But so he mentions he has been making these predictions and they are coming true, just not according to the timeline that he originally rolled out. But this is what he says is going to happen, okay? This game of cat and mouse, and he's talking about the population's immunity, right? And the virus's adaptation to the changing immune environment. This game of cat and mouse continues because highly COVID-19 vaccinated populations cannot develop herd immunity. Their immune systems are utterly destroyed. I have seen this in young people, my children's friends who are getting sick over and over and over. No one knows what it is. They're not testing positive for anything. They're just sick. They're bedridden. They're up out of bed for a couple weeks, and then they're bedridden again with these mysterious illnesses. These are young people, friends and family. I'm seeing it everywhere. I don't know about all of you, but what he's writing here, I am seeing. This is a suppressed immune system in a population of people who are highly vaccinated with COVID-19 vaccines. It is essentially what Ed Dowd and Peter McCullough and many of these brilliant doctors talked about, a VAIDS situation, vaccine-induced autoimmune disorder or dysfunction. And that's what we're dealing with. They're being hit with everything and their bodies cannot fight it off. Okay. They cannot develop herd immunity. What will we will eventually observe, according to Geert Vandenbosch, is this highly effective process of viral adaptation will ultimately confer an absolute fitness advantage to a coronavirus that is both structurally and functionally completely different from SARS-CoV-2 and its variants. It will be featured by many changes in spike and other viral proteins and have additional, I can't read that word, sites, sorry about that, while being resistant to neutralizing antibodies, virulent and highly productive replicative. It will use, he goes into the science of this, but anyway, thereby causing enhancement of severe disease, basically as a result of rapid virus dissemination and replication in all organisms, in all organs. It will spread, he says, okay? And you guys can read all of this and you can look at the science behind it. He has it here in the paper and all over his Substack if you want to get super sciencey with it. Okay. It's not COVID-19, the virus. It is the vaccine. It is the injection of whatever it is that they concocted into billions of human beings that is causing this. So it's not the virus. It's not the original COVID-19. He's saying here, it will spread as a strange but dominating lineage as a kind of extraterrestrial dictator that outcompetes all previously circulating SC2 lineages. Okay? The ongoing phenomenon of immune escape runs parallel to the increasing incidence of acute and chronic immune pathology, including cancers. Okay? It's why you're seeing the turbo cancers, the aggressive cancers, and all of the headlines about skyrocketing rate of cancer diagnoses in the US and across the world, particularly in highly vaccinated countries, both of which stem from dysregulation of the adapted immune system and COVID-19 vaccine recipients, not people who have had COVID-19, the virus, people who have had the vaccine. And if you've had multiple shots, you're worse off. You got to talk to your friends and family about this at this point, guys, so that they can begin to try to get decent healthcare, because this is going to be bad. The unvaccinated individuals. So for those of you watching, if you're unvaccinated, listen up. Why don't we go to break? We're going to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about whether or not this is going to impact vaccinated individuals. Very, very important Substack from Geert Van Den Bosch. I will link this in the show notes under the live chat if I have a chance. When we come back, we're going to talk about his predictions. We're going to go further. It gets worse. Everyone needs to be talking about this. Everyone. Trump needs to be talking about this. Biden needs to be talking about this. Bobby Kennedy Jr. needs to be talking about this. He's talking about COVID and Fauci and gain of function and lockdowns. Hasn't done a lot on the vaccines. I'd like to see more. Every politician that you talk to, every email that you send to your favorite radio host and conservative media, Conservative Inc., everyone needs to be talking about this. It's coming. And it's going to come for our families and friends as well. So we're going to go to break. We're going to continue with Geert Van Den Bosch's predictions, which have been horrifically accurate over the past couple years. So keep it tuned right here. We will be back in a minute. We are going through very, very concerning Substack that was delivered to my inbox this morning by Geert Van Den Bosch, who is someone I have been watching since the very beginning. In fact, on the Shannon Joy Show, he was probably the very first well-established whistleblower scientist that I featured on the program when we had no one. This was before Malone. This was before McCullough. This was before Kirsch. He was ringing the alarm bell very, very early, and his predictions have been quite concerning and quite accurate, which is why I'm taking this very, very seriously. So we're going to continue with that. So let's do it. Nellie Belly says, I ain't talking to family about vaccines anymore. I know you know what? Start talking again. People are always in different moments, right? You might talk to someone, you might have talked to someone last year and they called you an anti-vaxxer and they were horrible to you and they called you stupid and a conspiracy theory and, you know, go get your tinfoil hat, Nellie Belly. You're so dumb, right? But listen, the course of life and events in life have a dramatic way of impacting the way people think about things and whether or not they're open to hearing things that you're talking about. So you might have talked to someone a year ago and they were completely closed down. Since that conversation, maybe they've been vaccine injured. Maybe they've been red-pilled. Maybe they've seen something within their own corner of the world that is now opening them up to that discussion again. We have to be having these discussions all the time. Doctors, physicians, family members, neighbors, you name it. And just play dumb. Be like, you know, if they're complaining about getting sick all the time and reinfected with COVID-19, you could just say something like, oh my gosh, I'm sorry. Did you get the vaccine? Because there's all kinds of research now showing that there's immune suppression for people who were multiple vaxxed, right? And just play dumb. And then they're going to look at you like they're crazy and just be like, oh, you know, if they don't want to hear it, they don't have to hear it. Nautical, you can only put a seed in their head and hope it will eventually red pill them, right? Yeah, I know. All right, let's get back to Geert. you know, I hate, like, this is the type of stuff that makes you really sad for people who were tricked, coerced, forced, manipulated, propagandized into accepting poison. And that's what the COVID-19 vaccines are. Let's make no bones about it, okay? Garrett Van Den Bosch is warning that we are in the calm before the storm. What he has been predicting about suppressed immune systems and an emerging kind of mutant virus that is just going to lay waste to people with their suppressed immune system because of their vaccine injuries is imminent. And I saw someone in the live chat said that he's also mentioned he's really like 200% sure that this is going to happen. And I believe him. Okay. And we'll see what plays out. Maybe there's always room for miracles too. Okay. What's going to happen with vaccine individuals? The unvaccinated individuals, back to Geert's write-up here. Listen up. The unvaccinated individuals who are in good health and have not previously suffered from severe COVID-19 disease will not be affected, in his opinion, by this new COVID, and he's calling it HIVicron, so Hivicron or Hivicron, a highly virulent COVID that will replace the entire Omicron family. And this is because, unlike those who are fully COVID-19 vaccinated, the unvaccinated, listen up, have managed to train their cell-mediated innate immunity through exposure to increasingly infectious variants through epigenetic reprogramming. As the immune escape pandemic will transition from its chronic phase, which is characterized today by long COVID, to its final, tragically, hyper-acute stage. So he's saying right now we're in the chronic stage. This is why you're seeing people who are sick all the time, the cancers, the weird neurological disorders. A lot of this could be from suppressed immune system and other variables. And some of it is just reinfection with these new variants that people who are vaccinated just can't fight off because of their suppressed immune systems. But the unvaccinated have been training their immune systems, and we've been gearing up for this almost. And he's saying that the unvaccinated will not be affected by this new variant. Okay. And this is because as the, and then he goes to say, as the immune escape pandemic transitions from the chronic phase to its final hyper acute stage, we will observe a reduction in circulating Omicron descendants, and cryptic lineages will become increasingly undetectable in wastewater. Okay. He goes on to talk about that cases of long COVID will continue to steadily increase. Given the insidious nature of the current evolution, I'm referring to the current period as the calm before the tsunami, and am warning that societies in highly COVID-19 vaccinated countries will be caught off guard. Those who naively believe that the pandemic will simply die out without major casualties or will be controlled by regular updated vaccine booster doses fail to grasp that it is no longer COVID-19 vaccination itself, but rather the recurrent vaccine breakthrough infections, even if largely asymptomatic in terms of acute COVID-19 disease, initiated by Omicron as a result of mass vaccination. Hence why Omicron, in his opinion, has been a scourge rather than a blessing. This is fueling the progression of viral immune escape and immune pathology. In other words, neither an extended period of vaccine abstention nor a recently updated shot will affect the remaining evolutionary trajectory of this immune escape pandemic. Hence the title of my book, The Inescapable Immune Escape Pandemic. I can't help but conclude, and listen, there are a lot of scientists out there, a lot of doctors out there. I'm sure they have opinions on everything that he has written here, but I think that this is a viable theory that he is positing. And I think that we have seen, I have witnessed this in my own community, and it seems to be increasing in frequency. So what he's writing about, I'm seeing. And that's kind of how I test these things. I don't just take the latest report, the latest theory. I'm looking at everything. I'm looking what all the docs and scientists are saying, what they're writing. I'm looking at the metadata, the stuff that Ed Dowd is doing, the insurance actuary reports, the fatality rates, the rates of cancer. I'm looking at mainstream media. And then I'm testing all of that against what I am seeing and hearing with my own eyes and ears in my community. And when all three things are in place, that's when I'll bring you one of these types of reports, because I'm seeing all of it. And I know you're seeing all of it too. And everyone's seeing all of it. The problem is 60% of our population is just completely mind numbed. I mean, they just don't know. It is an asymmetrical information event. This is something that Ed Dowd writes about, where a certain population of people have access to good information, but it's a small population, and the rest of the population is completely in the dark, to where they will look at you like you have three heads if you talk about these things. Back to Geert Van den Bosch and the, okay, so at this point, what he's saying is that it's going to get pretty bad for the vaccinated population in a whole host of ways, okay? It's a nightmare, absolute nightmare. The unvaccinated will be relatively okay, but there is the problem of shedding. There is the problem of other environmental toxins. They're putting COVID-19 vaccines in livestock, mRNA technology into our food sources. I've seen the reports of the little mosquitoes are going to deploy to vaccinate people, and they have vaccines that are self-spreading that are aerosolized, that can travel through the air. At least they're researching that stuff. I'm not saying any of that stuff is happening. I'm just saying we've got to wake up about this. This is why COVID's not over. And anyone who rolls their eyes and are like, get off COVID, get off the lockdowns, you don't understand, man. You're in for it, okay? So this is the concluding statement from Geert Van den Bosch, and I have linked this in the live chat notes, and I will link it in the show notes on the podcast and here on Rumble, from his Substack delivered to my inbox this morning. I can't help, says Geert Van den Bosch, but conclude that all the pieces of the puzzle are fitting nicely together, and that the science behind all of this is undeniably compelling. He says he's 200% sure on this, which is pretty confident, okay? My analysis is the result of a thorough, prolonged, and painstaking exercise in deep diving into these matters, leaving no stone unturned. My journey through the pandemic has been quite different from that of our health authorities, so-called health experts, and leading scientists. To summarize, the mess they have made is essentially them throwing shit against the wall to see what sticks. Okay? That was his term, not mine. I have to edit that out for radio. He said, I seriously doubt the stakeholders of this mass vaccination program were clever enough to realize that their experiment would quickly emerge as the most spectacular gain of function experiment ever conducted in the history of biology, one that was directly conducted on our own human species. Okay? A mass, devastating, dystopian, sickening, Mengelian experiment that was conducted on the entirety of our human population, hundreds of thousands, millions, billions of poor souls injected with their experimental concoction. Whether intentional or not, says Geert, I won't judge. The fact remains that soon it will become evident how, due to their actions, a fairly harmless virus, or whatever it was, because there's debate about whether it was a virus, if it even exists, we don't even need to go into that. It doesn't even matter. But the fact remains that it will soon become evident how, due to their actions and their lack of action, their lack of discussion, their lack of acknowledgement to this day, all right? A fairly harmless virus was transformed into a bioweapon of mass destruction. There is no greater impotence, and he leaves us with a quote from Norman Mailer. There is no greater impotence in all the world than knowing you are right and that the wave of the world is wrong, yet the wave crashes upon you. And that was Geert Van den Bosch, what he sent Another warning, and there are many out there who are echoing that sentiment. There's a lot of research, a lot of information out there that is terribly, terribly concerning. And I know I'm a broken record, okay? I know I am a dog with a bone on this topic. Really ticks people off. It irritates people. They want me to just obsess with this latest election, 7 months till November 5th. And we're supposed to devote all of our time and energy and brain space, analytical skills, every bit of our emotion and our souls to these candidates, Trump and Biden, in the circus sideshow that is their campaigns. Their campaigns aren't even laying out platforms of what they're going to do, how they're going to fix things. It's just a circus. It's a sideshow circus. I feel terribly that this is, you know, where we are at. But on this show, and you know, there are outlets out there, you know, outside of the Shannon Joy Show, and I talk a lot about them. Pedro Gonzalez, Jordan Schachtel, Daniel Horowitz, Steve Dace, all of the amazing Substackers like Ethical Skeptic and Peter McCullough and Dr. Malone, Geert Vandenbosch, the Brownstone Institute, which you are treated to on a regular basis here at the Shannon Joy Show, Daily Clout. I'm a regular contributor with our dear friends Naomi Wolf and Amy Kelly over at Daily Clout. They're doing amazing work there. All of the independents here on Rumble. We're thankful for Rumble. Rumble Studio, the help that they've given me and independently platforming and self-producing my show, which I still can't believe I've been able to pull off, quite frankly. I mean, I don't even know. I don't even know how I have done that. But I'm going to stay on this, okay? And we're going to have our ups and our downs, and we're going to have the wins and the losses, but we're going to keep focused on the truth and what matters. We're going to continue to bring you the most amazing, amazing, brilliant guests on the show. Tomorrow, Dr. Pierre Corey. So you do not want to miss that.
The case series of Arne Burkhardt, who was a German pathologist who was just about to retire when COVID hit, and until he unfortunately passed away last spring, did a series of 75 autopsies on, I think mostly Germans, but mostly Europeans in any event, who passed away within some number of weeks or months after mRNA vaccination. And his findings are really, really amazing. One, because they're so rare, we should have been seeing this all over the world. But two, what did he find? So of the 75, 31 of them had been broadly judged as cardiac deaths, but vaguely so. They weren't in-depth autopsies. And so he did a more in-depth autopsies and found that in all 31 of those cardiac deaths, he thought that they were vaccine induced. He found killer lymphocytes. He found spike protein in the damaged heart. Now, of those 31, he found 16 were basically microvascular damage with stenosis and dissection. And 15 of those 31 were myopericarditis. Among the 16 of microvascular damage, five of them were aortic dissection. So the aorta is the largest artery that comes out of the top of your heart. And if that ruptures, that's very, very bad news. And we've actually seen a lot of these. You know, these were most, not all, some of them were in their 20s, but most of them, I think, were in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. And this is another example of where original autopsies did not pick up the fact that these probably were caused by vaccine damage. if you look at the entire 75, his findings showed that 21 beyond a doubt and 37 probable were caused by the mRNA vaccine. So that's 77% of the 75. This is one retired pathologist in Germany who did 75 autopsies and found this evidence. And what does the evidence show? It shows both of the things that we've been talking about the last couple hours. It shows the biodistribution. He found it in the heart, brain, testes, kidneys, adrenals, lungs, liver, et cetera, large and small blood vessels all around the body. And he found the lymphocytic infiltration and damage. So this is a huge, a large case series proving the points we've been talking about.
Yeah. So just to translate, the lymphocytic infiltration, that's white blood cells. We've been talking about T cells, killer cytotoxic T cells, and natural killer cells, both lymphocytes that are consistent with what this pathologist found invading the tissues that had caused the deaths of these patients shortly after vaccination. So while I suppose one could imagine some other explanation that would cause all of those pieces of evidence to align by some other mechanism, it is hard to imagine what it would be. We have powerful evidence. The hypothesis that I put forward makes predictions. These pieces of evidence are those predictions manifest in autopsies of a significant number of patients and a large fraction of those studied. So that does suggest that the pathologies, that relevant pathologies, are downstream of the exact mechanism in question. And what it should do is it should shift the burden of proof to those who believe that the vaccines are not at fault. They would need to establish that there was some other explanation for the pattern of evidence that is otherwise clearly indicative that they are. Is that a fair summary, you believe?
Absolutely. I mean, the amount of evidence, again, at the micro and the macro, which I'm going to talk about in a second, is overwhelming. And the lack of a response from health authorities, people in leadership positions around the world, has been, disappointing, you'd have to say. Now, one, if you were a skeptic of Burkhardt's evidence or some of the other evidence that we've rolled out, or especially Burkhardt's evidence, you could have said, well, maybe there was a selection effect here. Maybe the 75 families who offered their loved ones for Burkhardt to study had a particular reason to believe this was the case. Maybe if he sampled a larger random sampling of Germans, he would have found something different. But that's when you have to go look at the excess mortality and morbidity data from around the world. And here you find that it is consistent with all the evidence that we've been discussing today. So in nearly every single middle-income and high-income nation around the world, the ones that took lots of mRNA vaccines, you see dramatic spikes beginning in 2021, going through 2023, of cardiac issues, strokes, renal failure, and overall excess mortality. And particularly, you saw a change in the age structure of who was dying, where, of course, in 2020, in a lot of nations, older people were dying of COVID. In 2021, we saw a dramatic spike of healthy, young, and middle-aged people suddenly succumbing to diseases that they don't normally succumb to in such numbers. And so you can see it in the national databases. You can see it in the life insurance actuarial tables. You can see it in the disability rolls in many countries. And so, again, it is another huge set of macro data reinforcing the micro data, the biological data. And again, the world is a complicated place. The last couple of years have been very complicated between COVID, between lockdowns, between treatments, non-treatments, hospital protocols, the vaccines, et cetera. There are lots of different factors here. I'm not saying that this is simple. But when so much evidence aligns from so many different types of data, from so many different directions, from different nations, from private sources, from public sources, you start building a case that is very, very strong and that has not been looked into with anything like what we need for such a cataclysmic event.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's obviously been a lot made of my invoking Dr. Rancourt's estimate of global vaccine deaths. His estimate came out to 17 million, and maybe that number's too high. On the other hand, you know, you're pointing to the complicated nature of recent history, and add to that the simple fact that by the logic that we've described here, yes, we have focused on the heart, but we are talking about an inoculation that, if the argument about damage to the heart, myocarditis and pericarditis, is correct, implies that there will be damage to virtually every tissue of the body, resulting in a range of pathologies that would be incredibly broad. We're talking about something capable of getting the immune system to attack any tissue in the body that takes up these mRNA transcripts, which could in principle be just about anything. So how do you find that signal when that signal will manifest as an indefinitely large basket of seemingly unconnected pathologies, when the powers that be have a strong incentive not to study the obvious question, which is what happens when we compare otherwise similar groups of people who did and did not take the mRNA vaccines? It's not a hard question to study if you're willing to pursue that, but to the extent that we were strong-armed into accepting these poorly tested, highly novel inoculants, those who induced us to do that do not want to study the simple question of how did people fare who took them versus people who didn't. So that means you're going to have a very complex pattern of pathology, which will, of course, not be easy to diagnose, because the real question isn't, anything beyond, well, what happens when you damage every tissue in the body at low percentages? It will manifest as something difficult to see because of the number of symptoms in question.
Yeah, one could argue that we've never seen anything like this before. The range and depth of pathologies, and every story you read in the press, you know, throws out one new explanation after the next, some of them plausible, some of them completely implausible, right? Where when we were having a very large surge of sudden deaths in 21 and 22, especially, you know, there were stories being written in big newspapers around the world of you know, too much gardening, not eating breakfast, living in the flight path, climate change, you know, too much sleep, not enough sleep. And it was humorous in a way. But the range of pathologies and the disability numbers require people in leadership positions around the world to investigate and get to the bottom of this. And I would argue, if the people that want the mRNA technology and a whole host of biomedical technologies to work in the future, to be trusted in the future, they should want to get to the bottom of this. It may not be pretty, but I would argue that it would be better for for them, and certainly for people around the world, if we do get to the truth.
Yeah, I don't see that we have any choice, because there's no other way to reestablish any sort of trust in these systems. They have betrayed us so badly. And still somehow, it's cloud delusions.